This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Cuba. General Luis Alberto Lopez Calleja, a man in the news, and I welcome Mary Anastasia O'Grady, the America's columnist and editor of the Wall Street Journal editorial page, to help me understand Calleja's ambitions to control all of the wealth of Cuba, at least all of the wealth he can get his hands on. This is a complicated story about how the people of Cuba have been sustained for many decades by remittances, and how Calleja, Luis Alberto Lopez Calleja, is seeking to plunder those remittances. Mary, a very good evening to you. This is in the midst of understanding what the Biden administration now intends for Cuba. We need to understand Lopez Calleja. Who is he, former son-in-law of Raul Castro, and how does he control the wealth of Cuba? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Well, I should add that he is General Luis Alberto Lopez Calleja. So he's a military general, probably the most powerful and hated man in Cuba at this point, former son-in-law of Raul Castro, and also the top of the top military conglomerate that is known by its initials as CAESA. And the reason why Lopez Calleja is in the news is because the Cuban economy is, I want to say on its knees, but it's actually flat on its back. And the reason is because the island does not produce anything, and so it doesn't export anything that gives it hard currency. So it doesn't, if you don't count people, okay, so it exports a lot of people, but it doesn't export anything productive to the rest of the world in order to acquire hard currency. That would be euros or dollars. And it's recognized this problem for a long time. It's why it tried to develop its tourism industry, first attracting Europeans and then getting Barack Obama to lift limitations on Americans traveling to Cuba so that it could find more sources of hard currency. Of course, with the pandemic, those sources of hard currency from tourism have dried up. And the other source of hard currency that they used to have would be oil from Venezuela. Venezuela is producing more oil now, and oil prices are higher. So it's gotten a little bit of help in the last 6 months or so from Venezuela. But it still doesn't have enough revenues to run the economy. The third source of revenues has been, as I mentioned before, it exports human beings. They go to live in Florida or in Spain or in Mexico, and they send money home to their very impoverished family members. Now, Donald Trump decided that he didn't like the way in which those remittances coming from the U.S. going to Cuba were snatched by the military dictatorship, in particular snatched by Mr. Lopez Calleja and his business, his conglomerate called CAESA. So the Trump administration put in place a policy that said no more remittances through the military regime. And that meant when they made that announcement, Western Union stopped being a money service business serving the island. It was the largest money service business serving the island. And remittances fell between 2019 and last year by 70%. So the island's in very bad shape. No tourism dollars, very much less oil revenues from Venezuela, and now this fall in dollar remittances. The regime wants you to believe that the problem is that Donald Trump cut off, and now the Biden administration, have cut off remittances. And that's not the case. If the regime would allow the remittances to go directly to the people of Cuba, I want to send $100 to my cousin in Havana, for example, then the U.S. would allow it. What they're saying they will not allow is for the military to take those dollars and give the Cubans worthless pesos, which has been the practice of the regime for many years.
The comment in your column by an informed person is that Luis Alberto doesn't like to share. Does that, Mary, does that present an opportunity? It is suggested in your column there's an opportunity here for the Biden administration. What is it?
Well, it's tough because, it's quite clear that he doesn't like to share, and the island population knows it. In other words, the island population does not support the regime. And for many years, you had propagandists working in U.S. academia and the media and so forth, telling Americans that Cubans were actually very happy with their Cuban revolution. And I think what we saw last year was, confirmation that they are not happy. They feel imprisoned, they feel without choices, and they know that they're very poor compared to their brethren in Florida or in Mexico or in Spain. So in that sense, there you could say that this is an opportunity. The problem is that Luis Alberto López Calleja controls the military. And as long as he has that control over the military, I think that it'll be very hard to basically break up the dictatorship. I do think that the main opportunity that the Biden administration has is to talk about the reality of Cuba, and it does not do that. It misses that opportunity all the time. I mean, there should be a very orchestrated, clear messaging coming from the State Department, coming from the National Security Council to say, yes, Cuba is poor. Yes, Cubans are hurting. And the reason is right here, and point out what the military dictatorship is doing with the limited resources that Cubans have.
Does the Biden administration acknowledge that it was a mistake or an error by the Obama administration? Mr. Biden was a member of the administration. To sit and watch baseball with Raul Castro in hopes of normalization, is that now regarded as a grotesque, a bad policy?
Well, I would, of course, they don't acknowledge that publicly. And you'll notice that when Joe Biden shifted his rhetoric on Cuba, because during the campaign, he was saying that he was going to restore the engagement that Barack Obama had begun with Cuba. And when he came in, he found that more and more difficult to do. Why? Because the Cubans are using their cell phones to take video of the uprising, of the discontent, of the repression of Cuban military and police on the streets, beating and imprisoning even minors. And so it's become more and more difficult for Joe Biden to continue this happy talk about engaging with Cuba. I mean, it's becoming very clear that this is a very evil regime. So I think, the strategy has been, and there's an additional problem for the Biden administration in that South Florida is very much on the side of, fighting for the liberty of the Cubans. And it's more and more difficult for Joe Biden to take the side of the regime, to talk about engaging with Castro or with his son-in-law, with the military, with the police state, because they, if there's any hope of the Democrats doing well in South Florida, it's not contained in a kind of rapprochement with this military dictatorship.
The man's name is Luis Alberto López Calleja. He is a general and he is a villain. Mary Anastasia O'Grady of the America's columnist and editor at the Wall Street Journal editorial board. I'm John Batch.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.